The Brahmana said, "My dear king, with my intelligence I have taken shelter of many spiritual masters. Having gained transcendental understanding from them, I now wander about the earth in a liberated condition. Please listen as I describe them to you." Purport. The word buddhi upasritaha in this verse indicates that the Brahmana's spiritual masters did not directly speak to him. Instead, he learned from them by his intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence. Upasritaha means taking shelter of. So he actually took shelter of his intelligence. All living entities who are inimical to Lord Krishna glorify useless material things and spend their lives trying to lord it over the material objects they falsely worship. Thus the conditioned souls try to increase their duration of life as well as their fame and beauty by means of mundane religiosity, economic development and gross sense gratification. King Yadu noticed that the saintly Avaduta did not behave like that. Therefore, the king was inquisitive to find out the actual situation of the Brahmana. In reply to the king, the saintly Brahmana states, "I do not consider the 24 elements of the physical world as objects of my sense gratification, and therefore, I don't consider accepting or rejecting them. Rather, I accept the material elements as my instructing spiritual masters. Thus, even though wandering throughout the material world, I am never bereft of service to the Guru. Taking shelter of steady intelligence, I travel about the earth, constantly engaged on the transcendental platform. By intelligence, I transcend useless desires, and my ultimate goal is a loving devotional service of the Lord. Now I shall explain to you about my 24 spiritual masters." Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chachurun Nirikam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Tatakti Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vatsalam
Angum Nangayate Virim Yatkripa Tamaham Mandehi Sri Gurum Dinatavinam.
There are three types of living, or there are three types of entities within the creation. There's the non-moving or unconscious, there's the conscious, and then the supremely conscious, of which there is only one. Amongst all the conscious, well, unconscious is pretty easy to understand because it's unconscious. So, very little manifestation of personality, and certainly no manifestation of intelligence. But in the conscious living entities, there's a broad range of existence. From the described in the Brahma Samhita, the Indra Gopa, which is like the minutest germ, up to the and through the various species of life, which are described in the Vedas, 8,400,000 species of fish, of plants, of reptiles, of birds, of animals. So amongst all of the conscious living entities, within that broad spectrum of consciousness, the topmost is described as being the human being. The human being has the greatest power of discernment amongst all the living entities. And so therefore, the humans are honoured or recognised as being the master of all of the others. So they're like the topmost of all of the animals, of all the different species. And the only problem is that well, not the only problem, but one of the problems is that in the human form of life, there is an opportunity to exercise that discernment. Here, the Brahma is explaining to Maharaj Yadu that I took shelter of my intelligence. Buddhi apasvitaha. I took shelter of my intelligence. And obviously, the Brahmana. Does the Brahmana get a name? Avadhuta Brahmana. Yeah, that's all he gets. The Avadhuta Brahmana. He has the topmost level of discernment. Because what happens is that, you know, the real purpose of the buddhi or the intelligence is to be able to discriminate, and to be able to discriminate clearly between matter and spirit. That's the purpose of refined intelligence. And unfortunately, if we look at most of the behavior of the human beings, we can see that they're not using their intelligence for the highest purpose. You know, this is why the human beings are just described as being a royal order of animals. You know, because, basically speaking, they're caught up in all of these different, as Prabhupada says, isms, right? But those isms are usually a distraction or a deviation away from the real purpose of life. So they get caught up in materialism, altruism, communism, capitalism, free market, controlled market, out of control market, collapsing market, whatever, so many. Without realizing that the intelligence is not meant to just be focused, and you know, really, if you analyze the behavior, basically, it revolves around four things. Ahara nidra bhayam maitanum cha, it's described. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This is the four activities of the animals and human beings too. And so when a human behaves in a way that only focuses on those four things, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then basically they're considered to be no better than an animal. And so, you know, the Bhagavatam describes, the Vedic literature describes them as dvipada pashu, or a two-legged animal. Whereas the real purpose of life is not to use, and so, you know, the discrimination then is, you know, this is good or that's bad for my sense gratification, basically. If it supports my eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then it's good, and so I'll pursue it. And if it doesn't support my eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then I'll try to avoid it, reject it, fight it off, or whatever. But this is not the real purpose of intelligence. Intelligence is meant to be finely tuned so that one can appreciate one's identity. Of course, usually, you know, at the animalistic level of consciousness, then we really get, you know, the most sophisticated we can get is when we're involved in art and drama and culture and so forth. You know, this is called the manamaya. There's the anamaya stage, which is, you know, eating. I eat, therefore I am. Then there's the pranamaya stage, which is I am what I do, basically. I am the doer. And then more sophisticated or more cultured, if you like, is manomaya, which is where we rise above the gross and we come to the subtle platform of doing. And really, you know, very much of culture is on this level. Dance, drama, art, music. It's a subtle expression of the gross material behaviours. But it doesn't come close to a realisation of one's spiritual identity. One still thinks one is a product of the material energy. One still thinks that third stage is I think, therefore I am, which is, you know, more elevated. Descartes and other philosophers on the mental platform, basically. But the real purpose of discrimination, the real purpose of intelligence, is to actually come to a higher level of understanding. It's more, you know, being active is more developed than just eating. And you see in the lower species of life, you know, like a germ, that's basically all they're doing. They're just ingesting things and then producing byproducts. And that's about the level of their existence. Right? There's not much personality manifest in a germ. You know, more developed is a worm, say, for example. They, you know, they eat dirt. Dirt comes in one end and then it comes out the other. And, you know, they're burrowing around under the ground and, you know, occasionally they'll bump into another worm. Actually, I don't think worms are hermaphroditic, aren't they? They don't actually have to have another worm to procreate. So it's very, you know, not much development of personality, you know, in these lower species. But in higher in the higher species, especially in human, we start to see a development of personality, a development of character. Along with it, this development of intelligence. And at the level of jnana, or knowledge, one, and especially at that stage, there should be a development of buddhi, or intelligence. One should then be able to discern the difference between matter and spirit. One comes to the realization that, actually, I'm not this body. This body is a vehicle, but I'm the observer. I'm the constant fact. The body's always changing. There's always something going on within the body, whether physically, you know, the heart's beating, and the blood's flowing, and the organs and so forth, they're all working. There's always something going on in the body, so it's always changing. And then there's the mental state, you know, that's moving all over the place. According to our experience and our memory, we're always experiencing the, you know, the change of the body. Especially on the mental platform, you know, the mind is tamchala very flickly. So as Vidyananda Maharaj mentions here, we become attached to things that we place great value on and work very hard for them. Then what happens is when we don't get the satisfaction that we want from those things, then we regret them. Blah. In one moment, this is the nature of the mind. In one moment, we're grasping onto something with great attention and focus, and then it doesn't give us what we want, and then we just, no good, reject it. It's the nature of the mind. And that's why one has to get off the mental platform, because on the mental platform, the whims of the mind, you know, one minute we'll be into doing something, and the next minute, give it up, I don't want to do it. Whereas the nature of buddhi or intelligence is of steadiness, of determination, of focus. So, the Avadhuta Brahmana has transcended the mental platform and is fixed and steady on the platform of intelligence. And as a result of that, fixed intelligence and introspective, it's an introspection that he has. He's not using his intelligence to work out, you know, what's the best business deal and what's the best business plan. But rather he's using his intelligence to analyze things very carefully so that he can learn about the real purpose of existence. Utilizing his intelligence to understand his spiritual identity. Maharaj Yadu was inquisitive to find out from him why he was situated in the consciousness that he was, because he's different to everybody else. It's the nature of a devotee, in one sense, or a transcendentalist, spiritual focused person. Their behavior is different to everybody else. And so the Avadhuta Brahmana is striking, because he's interested in being introspective, looking within, looking without, and seeing what lessons he can learn from his experiences. And he's not interested in just this pursuit of, what's it here, dharma, artha, karma. Right? He's not interested in religiosity for material purposes, you know, for material benefit. And then, you know, as a result of that material benefit, then getting sense gratification. He's renounced that, realizing the temporal nature of material existence. And that, you know, one becomes absorbed in things in a very focused way, pursues them, gets them, thinking they're going to be happy, but then it all just, you know, turns into misery. Adyantavanta Kunte, I mentioned this earlier. Na te shu ramate buddha. You know, we think we're going to be happy, we get what we want, and then we discover the misery. Right? I told a story about, you know, when I was 5 years old, and it was my birthday, and I wanted a soccer ball so badly. The perfection of life was to have a soccer ball. My own soccer ball. Right? I couldn't go to bed, you know, I was next to it, and I was, you know, in so much anxiety about, you know, where am I going to get my soccer ball? So my parents had it at 11 o'clock at night, and I still wasn't asleep, so mum and dad brought the soccer ball in for me. Oh, my soccer ball. So I went to sleep with the soccer ball. Anyway, the next day I was playing soccer with my dad, and my father kicked the ball pretty hard, and that just went, smacked me in the face. And then I was just crying. So, you know, I got the realization of the soccer ball. Deeply absorbed in being happy with the soccer ball until it got hit in the face. The material life is like that. We become absorbed in something, we get it, and then we discover that it's just like everything else is. It has its good points, obviously, you know, we can play soccer. And have fun. Just like, you know, the boys, they play cricket and have fun until one of them, you know, nearly breaks his back and have to take him off the hospital. So this is the failures of material existence. You have a lot of fun, but there's also the agony. There's the agony and the ecstasy. The nature of material. So wise persons don't pursue those things with the same kind of enthusiasm. And Maharaj Yadu saw that in the other Dutta Brahman. He said, you're not like everybody else. You're not chasing, you know, the same things that others are. Why is that? So Maharaj Yadu was inquisitive about what's the consciousness of the other Dutta Brahman? Why is he like this? And Maharaj Yadu, being respectful to the Brahmanas, he inquired submissively the nature of spiritual pursuit. To inquire, Pariprasnena. Pranipatena, he's submissive. Pariprasnena, he's inquisitive. And then he's with folded head, or with folded palms and with head bowed, he's inquiring from the other Dutta Brahmana. Why are you? You're so well endowed with good features. You have there's all this description of how he's very handsome. He's very attractive personality in all material respects. Learned. What is it? Expert, handsome, capable, eloquent. He's got all of these good qualities. Eminently well endowed to be a material success. But Maharaj Yadu is noticing, even though you're so well qualified, you're not interested in the same pursuits as everybody else. So, what is it? Why are you like that? And the other Dutta Brahmana is answering. You know, I don't see the objects of the senses as being the source of my enjoyment. And so therefore I don't accept and reject things. This is good, that's bad. That's bad, this is good. He is my enemy, he is my friend. You know, one day he's my friend, the next day he's my enemy. It's all relative, actually. In material existence, it's all relative. So, and he makes the point. I accept the material existence as my guru. I accept the material elements as my spiritual master. as my teacher. And so, an interesting point here. He says in the purport, Hiranand Maharaj mentions, I set the material elements as my spiritual masters, as my instructing spiritual masters. Thus, even though wandering throughout the material world, I am never bereft of service to the Guru. So he's always seeing an opportunity to learn or serve his instructing spiritual master or spiritual masters. And there's 24. And he's going to go on and explain all of the different lessons, the 24 lessons that he's learned from his 24 instructing gurus. So he has a unique mentality, certainly an essential mentality of service to the spiritual master, which is reflected here in his example. By seeing the spiritual master everywhere, he's able to then render service to his spiritual, spiritual masters, plural, right? Gurun. And of course, that's the proper attitude of a disciple. The disciple accepts the order of his spiritual masters as his or her life and soul, and applies those instructions accordingly in the various situations or circumstances that they find themselves. So because he's able to see his spiritual masters everywhere, then he's able to serve them and remain on the transcendental platform constantly. That's how a devotee makes spiritual advancement and remains on a spiritual platform, by hearing the order or instruction. And Prabhupada says, in the absence of the spiritual master, then the order of the spiritual master is the pride of the disciple. As we know, we're not limited to one spiritual master, but rather we generally speaking have more than one instructor. So Prabhupada says we can have one initiating guru, but we can have many instructing spiritual masters. The example of Lord Krishna Das Kaviraj. In the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he first of all offers his obeisances to his spiritual masters, one day Gurun. Gurun is plural. And you see, he was initiated by Krishna Das Kaviraj, Lord Nityananda, isn't it? Lord Nityananda, his spiritual master? He's initiating Guru anyway. But, you know, he offers at the end of each chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, he offers his obeisances to Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami as his instructing spiritual masters. So this is the tradition, if you like. And by accepting those personalities as the representative of God, as a representative of Krishna. So here the Avaduta Brahman is recognizing the material elements ultimately as a representative of Krishna to teach him a lesson. Is the principle. So similarly also the disciple accepts the instructing spiritual masters as and the initiating spiritual master, his gurus, as the representatives of Krishna, to teach him how to fine-tune one's intelligence so that one can discriminate between matter and spirit. The real purpose of human existence is to achieve that spiritual vision. Therefore, you know, we offer our prayers to Omai Gyana Timirandasya. I offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes, my blind eyes, darkened eyes, with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. So, effectively speaking, one who's on the path of transcendence sees things very differently to everybody else. That's witnessed here. That's why Maharaj Yadu was inquiring from the other Duta Brahmana. This person is behaving differently, he must be seeing things differently. What is he seeing? What is his experience? And so therefore Maharaj Yadu, being a transcendentalist himself, then what does he do? He inquires. This is the standard process for making advancement. When a devotee is in the association of other devotees, he seeks out those who are more advanced, or even his peers, or even we can learn from juniors actually. Even actually, a Prabhupada says, you know, saintly person or sadhu can take gold even from a filthy place, or instruction from an unqualified person. But if the instruction is good, then the devotee is keen to hear it. And he finds out or seeks out that instruction by inquiry. Inquiry. Inquisitiveness, the characteristic or the nature of an advanced transcendentalist. Who's an example of inquisitiveness? Now, Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj saw Krishna in the womb, right? He saw Krishna in the womb, and it was such a revelation for him that for the rest of his existence he was looking again for that person that he saw. He was always inquiring after Krishna. Nature of a great devotee. And as the Avadhuta Brahmana says, you know, as a result of my taking shelter of my spiritual masters, I now walk around, I now travel, trying to avoid useless desires. And his ultimate goal is to be engaged in devotional service, that which is practical. So he's trying to avoid the things that waste his time, useless desires, which end up in useless pursuits of things that ultimately bring misery. And his focus is now on how to make spiritual advancement. This is the characteristic or the quality of Abhidhuta Brahmana. His concern is, how can I make spiritual advancement? And so therefore he does that by observing the instructions that he is being given by his gurus, the 24 gurus, of which we will learn more. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points?
Yes,
question on you.
You told me that the guru chooses the other dude and the
Sorry?
You know your thoughts is the discussion with the other dude and the
Dr. Treya. Oh, okay. There you go. I didn't hear that. Right. Okay, there you go. It will be revealed, I guess, in due course of time. Any other comments, questions?
Yes. Changes are to be surrendering to one's intelligence.
Yeah.
How to know that one has sufficient level of intelligence before surrendering to it?
How do you know that you've got enough intelligence to recognize that you've got intelligence?
Yeah.
our guidelines as Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Right? And the Shastra recommends that Krishna Vanam Twisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parasadam Jagjai Sankitan Paye Yajanti Hisu Megasaha. So in the age of Kali, those who are endowed with good intelligence will participate in the Sankirtan Jagya. So when we're participating in the Sankirtan Jagya, then we can know that we've got good intelligence. And that's corroborated by Prabhupada and others as the instruction of the spiritual master. So therefore, that's how we know. When we're in the association of the devotees and we're engaging in the Sankirtan, then that means we've got good intelligence. And if we're not, then that means otherwise. How's that sound? Is that an intelligent answer?
Indeed.
Yeah. How do we know when we've got intelligence? Well, see, the thing is, it's easy to understand that we are lacking intelligence. Because we're always suffering. Huh? And we're lacking knowledge. So many reasons. But if we're engaged in devotional service, then, you know, pretty much we'll be satisfied, despite whatever trials or tribulations might face us. So, when we're engaged in devotional service, then that's intelligent. When we're in the association of devotees, that's intelligent.
If you are following Srila Prabhupada's form, you should think you are.
Yeah.
Suppose.
Yes, that I've wondered on occasion. Generally speaking, if we follow Prabhupada, yes.
Yeah.
Following is essential.
Following is
yes. Good point. When we're in ISKCON but not following, then actually we're not in ISKCON. That's why we have trouble, you know, with people sometimes. Or even with ourselves.
Four negative principles, 16.
Many things. But they're the basis, yeah.
Very important.
What's that verse like? Smriti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatrika Vidhim Vina. If we give up or reject the recommendations that are given in the Shruti, in the Smriti, in the Puranas, in the Pancharatra. No, that's not intelligent. There is a thing as over intelligent, you know. Too much intelligence. Then we start creating our own thing. Right? And then that gets us in trouble also. But yeah, if we stick to a very fairly simple process, then that's intelligent. Yes, Christian.
It's just been talking about the customs. There are so many ways we can learn all day long from so many different people, from so many different sources, but seeing things.
Yeah.
How can we open our vision, open ourselves more to all the things we could learn and we don't learn and say?
Just off the top of my head, I would think the best way to cultivate intelligence is to read Prabhupada's books. You know, or read transcendental literature, hear from others who are intelligent. Because really the distinction is being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. And if we're not sufficiently learned, then we will accept matter as spirit and the spirit as matter. You know, we'll take the wrong choices, we'll make the wrong choices. And we won't think, we won't see things in a proper perspective. That's really good. So we need good association, we need to be hearing from people who have a discriminating power of discrimination and an ability to see things properly. And then by that association we'll also be able to see things. Especially my experience is, you know, if you're reading Prabhupada's books or you know, hearing from advanced devotees, then you start to see things from a different perspective. It's that kind of perspective that we want to cultivate. Yes.
Krishna said in the Gita, one studies the conversation, worshiping life and health.
Yeah. Okay. That's what we need to do. Okay. Anything else? So we've got to look forward to, I say it's quite good, as a story of Pingala and others coming up. Okay, Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam
Ki Jai,
Prabhupada Ki
Jai,
Gaurabhaktavrinda Ki
Jai,
Harinam Sankirtan
Ki Jai.